It's lovely to see you here. My name's Johnny, and let me add my welcome to James's. It's great to have you. I know many have headed off on holiday already, and you might be soon, so it's lovely to see you here this week. And I recognise in the room there'll be quite a diversity amongst us when it comes to how we approach or what we think about when it comes to church. You might be here visiting. You might be new here. And I hope you feel really, really welcome amongst us here at Christchurch. Or you might be a regular here, and even just to be here is quite a big step for you for all sorts of reasons. And so it's great to have you here as well, and praise God that you're here. You might be a believer and being a regular here for a while, and you're happy to be in church. But that's it. Not much more than that, thanks very much. You don't want to get involved, you just want to come in. It might be a little bit like church being a cinema. You love to come and sit and watch, but not much more, thanks very much. If that's you today, as we read Romans 16 in a moment, and as we think about it together, I hope that you might see the joy of what it is to be involved in church, not just be in it, but be involved in it. And I'd love you just to think in your mind as you hear, what could it look like just to move towards being involved and taking that step from being just in? And others here, you know you are totally involved. You know you're up to the necks in getting involved in this church family. Church is not like a cinema to you. It is way more like a gym. You're sweaty, you're working hard. You're not a staff member here, you're not paid to do it. As a volunteer, you work hard for the life of this church, for the life of the people here, for the ministry of Jesus here. And if you're involved like that, you are a gospel partner, a gospel partner. And today, simply this passage, and we want to celebrate you. Celebrate you. It's what Paul did at the end of his letter to the Romans. We're going to read chapter 16 right now. It's the final installment of this wonderful letter. And what a year it's been. We started off, maybe the second week of September, looking at this book together, this letter. It's been a roller coaster, highs and lows, wonderful things we've seen, ways that we've grown. Now we come to this final week. Let me read Romans chapter 16. It's on page 1142 in your church Bibles. Why don't you open that up and I'll read for us. Chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kentrae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she's been a benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epenetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who's worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my fellow Jews, who've been in prison with me. They're outstanding amongst the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who's worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality and the whole church enjoy here, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Now to him, who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of our eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. John Chrysostom, he's a 4th century guy. He wrote about these verses we've just read. Be gold finders. It's possible even in bare names to find great treasure. I don't know how you felt as you read those bare names and what it made you think. But let me pray now that we would be gold finders and find treasure in the next few minutes. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this wonderful letter that we've received so much from this year. And we pray as we come to this final chapter that we would indeed be those that find treasure this morning. Treasure for our hearts, treasure for our lives, treasure as we gaze upon the greatest of treasures, the Lord Jesus, and the glory of God in his gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's greetings here, greetings from him and his mates, probably in Corinth, that he's then sending to the church in Rome. It's sort of like a, you know, those Queen's New Year's honours list, a wonderful list of people that she wants to honour and celebrate. That's the same here. Paul wants to honour, he wants to celebrate those who are hard-working, gospel co-workers with him. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 9, Urbanus. Verse 6, Mary. Verse 12, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis. All people who are working hard for the Lord, or co-workers. And as I said earlier, these guys are not paid staff members of a church. These are regular churchgoers. They're involved in ministry. It's sacrificial for them, but it's important to note it is also sustainable. So it's not that Paul here is advocating work so hard that you burn yourself out, that you give up and you can't carry on being a Christian anymore. He's saying be involved in ministry, not because they should, because they thought, oh, that's kind of my duty, that's what I should do here. No, it's because of God's mercy, because of Jesus' grace to them, they just want to serve him. They love Jesus so much, they can't think of anything better but to serve him as regular churchgoers. You see, Paul here is celebrating the 1st century equivalent of you in the pew. Gospel partners, if we're someone who is involved, not just involved in ministry. And that's going to look like all sorts of things, all sorts of ways, right? So it's going to be the seen and the unseen. It's going to be in prayer or in pastoral care or even just picking up the phone. It's going to be with your car and with your cash or helping out in the creche. It's going to be in a small group or a kids group or a music group. It's going to look like all sorts of things for us, different for all of us here. But as I looked at this list of co-workers, these partners in the gospel that Paul outlines here, the greetings that he sends, there was something that just jumped off the page at me. I don't know if it jumped off the page at you as you read it just now. It was something wonderful. Diversity. Diversity. See, the list here that Paul celebrates, these people are so diverse. They are so different to one another. And I'd love us to spend a little bit of time just having a look at some of these different diversities that Paul outlines. And the first one he celebrates is both men and women. Men and women. Now, this list isn't the only thing the Bible's got to say about roles of men and women in the church. But here, the focus is on that in the pew, regular believer, and about the women as well as the men being so involved in ministry. It's wonderful to see the high value that Paul is placing here on women involved in ministry. Verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church in Kentrae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she's been the benefactor of many people, including me. So right at the beginning, the first person we meet is Phoebe. She's celebrated, commended by Paul for being an outstanding post-woman. Phoebe, she's the one that is going to take the letter from Corinth and take it very preciously, guarding it all the way to Rome and then giving it to the church there. And the church are to welcome her, one, because she's a believer, she's a sister, but also because she's a gospel partner. She's a deacon, she's on the PCC, and she's a benefactor. She's made her substantial wealth available for ministry to happen. She's given stuff away. Could we do the same and be like Phoebe? But there's other women too. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet the church that meets at their house. So you've got Priscilla alongside her husband, Aquila, sort of a ministry couple, wonderful gospel partners together. And they've risked their lives for Jesus, risked their lives for Paul. And lots of the Gentile churches have benefited from Priscilla's ministry. If you like, have a read of, not right now, have a read of Acts chapter 18. It's great. So Priscilla and Aquila have been with Paul in Corinth. And then Paul's gone to Ephesus with them. He's taken them to Ephesus, and they've been doing lots of ministry there. They've risked their lives there. They maybe rescued Paul from the riot there. And now they've traveled to Rome. They're in Rome. And now it seems that hospitality is their focus. So the church in Rome, they gather 1 week, and then at the end of the service they said, so who's going to host next week? Who's going to welcome the mess and the joy, the tears and the laughter, the feet and the fun? Who wants to host the church, this diverse group gathering together next week? And before whoever's leading can finish the sentence, Priscilla's and Aquila's hands, they shoot up, say, me, it's at our house next week. There's this wonderful book that I've been reading recently. It's cool. It's by someone called Rosaria Butterfield. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And she's sort of trying to see what this kind of New Testament sort of church life that we see with Priscilla and Aquila, how it might cash out in our lives today. And she paints this beautiful picture of her home. She coins this phrase, I love it, called radically ordinary hospitality. Radically ordinary hospitality. And she says, in radically ordinary hospitality, hosts and guests are interchangeable. If you come to my house for dinner and notice that I'm still teaching a maths lesson, to a child, my laundry is still on the dining room table and unfolded, and you roll up your sleeves and you fold my laundry, or you set the table, or you load the dishwasher, or feed the dogs. Radically ordinary hospitality means that hosts are not embarrassed to receive help, and guests know that their help is needed. A family of God gathering together needs each and every person. Host and guest are permeable roles. That is radically ordinary hospitality. It's a great book, if you want to, as well as our summer book, if you want a lovely book to read this summer. It is a beautiful picture of church, of our homes, of family. You see, Rosaria Battlefield in that book, and Priscilla here in verse 3, their homes are used for gospel partnership. And it's good to ask ourselves, right? Could we use ours? Next, there's Junior and her husband, Andronicus, verse 7, regular churchgoers who have suffered for the gospel. They're described as outstanding amongst the apostles. Many have got excited at this point. So it's not capital A apostle. So the 12 disciples, minus Judas, and then add in Matthias and Paul. It's not adding her to that list, but it is sort of small A apostle. As a looser term about being sent out, a little like we're going to do for the Morris family, sent out to Bristol for the gospel. She's sent out from Rome with the gospel. That's Junior, and she's outstanding, just like the Morrises. And then there's Mary, verse 7. She's a single lady. Verse 12, Tryphena, Tryphosa, sisters. So kind of whatever our situation, all involved in gospel ministry. And then lastly, beautifully, there's Rufus's mum, verse 13. She offered hospitality and care to Paul. Paul's left his mum at home, but he has experienced the same kind of motherly care from Rufus's mum as he would have from his own. And so if you here experience that sort of motherly care from someone who isn't your mum, go and tell them. They'd love to hear. Go and celebrate. Thank them for their motherly care for you. Lots of women here are rightly celebrated for their gospel partnership, working hard for Jesus, women as well as men, diversity. But there's also Paul celebrating both Jew and Gentile. The church in Rome is made up of both, Jew and Gentile. Both groups are not just in church, but they're both involved in church. Verse 7, verse 11, Paul celebrates his fellow Jews, Andronicus, Junior, Herodian. But he also celebrates a load of Gentiles. There are lots of Greek and Latin and Roman names in this list. And then there's verse 5, Epenetus. Well, how wonderful. The first convert in Asia. The capital of that province is Ephesus, a Gentile sort of hub. He's probably a Gentile. So there's cultural diversity in this list as well. The church in Rome is made up of the city of Rome. It reflects the diversity of the city. And praise God this morning that Christ Church is a diverse church family. But wouldn't it be great to grow in that as well? Grow in reflecting London in this church. Because diversity is a distinctive of the gospel. You see, membership here at church is not about who you are or what you do. The gospel of grace says no. Membership is about what Jesus has done. We've seen that in Romans this year, how wonderful what Jesus has done for all people received by faith. Because Jesus is for all, and Jesus welcomes and unites all. And so as a church, we want to be for all and unite all, as we're all involved in ministry here. So that Paul celebrates Jew and Gentile, that cultural diversity, and he also celebrates both slave and free. See, Paul greets the household there in verse 10 and 11 of Aristobulus and Narcissus. And as he mentions households, he's not talking about how many kids they've got at home. He's talking about those who are working in the house, about slaves. And Paul here, because he doesn't mention the names of the master of the household, he's not greeting them. He's greeting the slaves within the household. There are Christian slaves that Paul wants to honor and greet and celebrate. See, the gospel honors those that culture don't honor. The low, as well as the high, are honored in the church of God. And Paul celebrates the free or the wealthy, the influential, as well as those who are not. Verse 23, the guys in Corinth with Paul, Gaius, verse 23, a whole church can meet in his house. It's got to be pretty wealthy, big enough to host a whole church. Then there's Erastus, also verse 23. He's in regional government. He's got a lot of influence. So slave and free, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, male and female. Diversity. And I don't know if it sparked in your mind, it did for me. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a verse. And that's the theory in that verse in Galatians. And don't we see that in practice here in Romans chapter 16? We see it lived out. The gospel unites across these massive divisions. This is a united and a diverse church family involved in ministry together. And it is a wonderful picture. The church really is incredible. It's wonderful because nowhere else in the world do you get this sort of unity in diversity. There's no club or political party or hobby or interest group or convention you want to go on that unites this diversity. And why does it unite this diversity? Well, it's all because of grace. It's all because of grace in Jesus. That grace that flows to us vertically from God, but then transforms us so that we live out grace horizontally as well. It flows out from us to one another after we've received it from the Lord. It's not to say that unity in this sort of diversity is easy. Not at all. It's just probably just the opposite. You see, getting stuck into this sort of diverse, united gospel ministry together as Christchurch is going to be messy. It's going to be really messy. We're going to mess up. We're going to have to forgive each other. A recent book title put it like this: Relationships, a Mess Worth Making. Because it is worth it. It might be messy, but it is worth it. And if you're sitting here and you know you are involved in gospel ministry, whether male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, rich or poor, I'd love you to hear right now, loud and clear, publicly, we want to say a huge thank you to you for being involved in gospel ministry. We want to publicly celebrate all the ways that you've been serving the Lord and this church family this year. We want to say thank you. As we come to the end of Romans, this academic year, to reflect back on the ways that you may have been serving this year, you are celebrated. Thank you. And if you're not, if you're kind of sitting here recognizing you're a sort of in church sort of person, not an involved person, and you think, oh, why not? Yeah, maybe over the summer, after summer, I'd love to do a little bit more, be a bit more involved, serve a bit. Come and chat to Adam, come and chat to me. We'd love to chat to you more. And why not give you a little bit reading over the summer to help? This book, Love Your Church, that we're going to look at together over the summer and over August Wednesday nights. I think if you read it, you'll see, as Adam and I have, as we've read it this year, how wonderful the church is and how it motivates us to want to serve Jesus and his people. So do have a read of that. It's not just sort of set up the front with a, it would be good for you. It's been good for us, and we want you to benefit from it too. So Paul celebrates these diverse gospel partners, doesn't he? But there is a diversity that he does not celebrate. And that is a theological diversity, or a diverting away from the true gospel. He doesn't celebrate that. Because here in this letter, it's all going so well, full of celebration, but then Paul changes his tone. And out of love, it's from the same place, from love, But he now wants to warn the church. Verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Watch out. Keep away. That's what Paul says. Watch out for those who are teaching something different to the message, the teaching that you've learned. That is the teaching that the church received from Paul. And that is the teaching of the apostles, now capital A. And because it's the apostles' teaching, that is the teaching that comes from Jesus himself. The teaching held in the scriptures. Keep away from those people who are teaching something different to what you see here, who are creating divisions, putting obstacles in your way, saying you need to do this and that actually to come to Jesus. I was in a queue once. We were going into this Christian conference, a kind of day conference thing in central London, and we were queuing up. But I could hear up ahead some shouting, and there were some people with big placards waving them around. It was a conference entitled Grace. And as we got closer, there were event organizers, trusted people, and they said to us, if you wouldn't mind queuing sort of that way, away from these people with the placards and shouting, keep away from them. And as the queue got closer and closer, and you could start to hear what they were saying. And they were saying things like, Jesus is great, but not enough. You need the law still. And these event organizers were saying to us, watch out, keep away. And they were even talking to the guys to try and distract them so that everyone else in the queue didn't have to listen to them. They were saying, watch out, keep away. And if you come across a new teaching, or someone says, oh, hey, check this out. I haven't heard this before. Isn't this great? And if you're trying to weigh up, is it a keep, watch out, keep away sort of thing or not? There are three questions that I've been helped with when facing this. First one, does it agree with Scripture? Make sure you don't just listen to the person, but does it agree with what's in your hand? Secondly, does it glorify Christ alone, Jesus alone, and nothing else? And thirdly, does it promote goodness, godliness, rather than evil? Three questions that might be helpful. You see, Paul celebrates diversity, but he doesn't celebrate this diversity away from the true gospel. He wants to warn believers against diverting away from Jesus. Now, as we close, as Paul finishes this extraordinary letter of great good news, he lifts our eyes to the only place left to go, to the gospel of grace and to the glory of God. Because this year, it's been wonderful, hasn't it? As we've been studying Romans both on a Sunday and throughout the week in groups, it's been wonderful to see the gospel of grace. And we see it there in verse 25, right at the end. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of grace, it is the gospel of Jesus. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. That's how he opened the letter. It is such good news. And it is news that we really, really need because of our situation, not in the right with God, left to our own devices. However, the great news is that the gospel of grace says you can receive Christ's righteousness as a gift, not by works or doing anything, not by earning it. At the cross, by faith, sinners are declared right in God's sight. It's extraordinary news. And the implications of it are immense. We've seen this all year. Peace with God, united to Christ, given the Spirit, empowered by him to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. There's now no condemnation and there's now no separation from God. It's wonderful news that we've seen. And it's wonderful because this gospel of Jesus is for all, for everyone. Verse 26, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, The gospel is for Gentiles. It is for all people. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, chapter 10 told us. The gospel of grace is for all. It's for me and it's for you. It's for all, which means it's missional. It means we're to go and be sent out to tell others. It sends us out, this gospel of grace, not staying just within these walls, but out. But this gospel of grace, being for all, also unites us all. It is the thing that unites us. And so, as we close, I hope this year you have seen both how true, but also how wonderful this gospel of grace is. And where does this gospel leave us over the summer? Well, verse 27. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are left in awe. We fall to our knees. We look up and we praise God, our wise God, our God of all grace and mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace has been wonderful to see, and we want to live our lives in glory to God. And let me pray for that now before the band come back up. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the gospel of grace that we've seen all year. We pray that it is a gospel that sends us out, and it's also a gospel that unites us. Thank you for giving us the church, for giving us one another. And we pray that we would be a united, a loving, and a witnessing church this summer and moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen.